Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Port Arthur, Texas. Earned a BA in psychology from the University of North Texas while quarterbacking their football team. After getting hooked on crystal meth, he became the Dallas Uptown Burglar. From 2009 to 2015, he served a prison sentence for organized crime. Today, he's a world-class inspirational speaker and a quintessential example of, with God, anything is possible. The author of The Coffee Bean, A Simple Lesson to Create Positive Change, is named Damon West. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to an amazing human being, the author of The Coffee Bean, Damon West. Damon, an honor to have you.
Jack, thanks for having me, man.
Let's start by talking about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
You know, Jack, I grew up in probably one of the best homes possible, man. I tell people all the time, I won the lottery. And what I mean by that, it's a parental lottery. I grew up in a home with two parents. My mom and my dad were married for 55 years. My mom was a school teacher and a nurse. My dad was a sports writer. Actually, my dad was a really well-known sports writer. In 1971, he was the first sports writer in Southeast Texas to put black athletes on the front page of sports pages. He was a heck of a role model. You know, he stood in the line of fire in civil rights because he did what was right, because he always felt that whoever deserved to be on the front page should be on the front page, regardless of any other thing that is attached to that person. And he took a lot of flack for that, Jack. His cars were vandalized, the home was vandalized. This is before I was born. And when I come along and I'm growing up in the 80s as a boy, he saved all the hate mail that he had from back in 1971. And he would make me read the hate mail, Jack. He said, Damon, I want you to read these letters because I want you to see what it looks like to take a stand and do the right thing. Because he said, sometimes, Damon, taking a stand and doing the right thing, it means you're going to stand alone. But he told me it's always okay to stand alone as long as you're standing on the right side of history. And it was a tremendous influence. And, you know, later on in life, we're going to find out in my story, that's the key principle, the core pillar that I'm going to rebuild an entire life on. But I was a good student growing up, too. I was a great athlete, though. God blessed me with a cannon for a right arm, Jack. And this is Texas. Texas high school football, man. Friday night lights. And I grew up under those lights, in the lights, man. The Friday night lights, they're intoxicating, you know. And I was a 3-year starting quarterback for a 5A school, man. I had it all. But something happened along the way, Jack. You know, this is something we're going really deep in this conversation, deeper than I would go normally when I'm speaking at a presentation. When I was 9, I was molested by a female babysitter. And, you know, it was one of those deals, Jack, that I tell people all the time, it's not one of those molestation things where it totally derails my life like other people have experienced with sexual assault, sexual molestation. I describe it like this. When I was 9 years old, an adult opened the big door for me. And the big door is this, man. That big door when you're a kid is bolted, it's locked, it's chained up. That's the adult door. You can't get through that adult door until you're an adult, until the time is right, until you're mature. But if you have an adult that unlocks that big adult door to adult behaviors and you walk in on the other side, on the other side of that big door is all these other doors, but they're wide open, right? Because an adult, you can go through any door you want. You don't have to ask for permission. And, you know, some of those doors were smoking, drinking, doing drugs, other adult behaviors. And at 9 years old, I found myself on the other side of that big door, and I started walking through the other doors because I got into adult behaviors at a young age. So, you know, of course, I'm drinking at a young age. I'm smoking cigarettes at a young age. I'm smoking pot at a young age. I got a bad belief system, Jack. And my bad belief system tells me it's okay to do these kind of behaviors, that the adults don't know what they're talking about, that it's okay. I'm Damon West. I can do what I want. The problem is, Jack, your belief systems, they go with you for the rest of your life. And when you're at that age, 12, 13, 14 years old, you're developing the belief systems. They're going to go with you for the rest of your life. And if you have bad belief systems, you know what I found out, Jack? Bad belief systems are really hard to change. They're very hard to change. And a bad belief system usually wins in the end. And that's what happened in my life. My belief systems, you know, started at a young age, eventually took me down the wrong road, and I made a lot of bad choices. But, man, my childhood growing up, Jack, I had it all, brother. I'll tell you another real quick story about my dad. My dad, who passed away last year, my dad was a sports writer for 50 years. And we're from the town called Port Arthur, Texas. Well, another famous person is from Port Arthur, Texas in the world of sports, a guy named Jimmy Johnson. Remember Jimmy Johnson, Jack?
Still do.
Yeah. So Jimmy's from
Best hair in the world. Best hair in the world, huh?
So. Best hair in the world, man. It was bulletproof. So Jimmy, and he's coaching the Cowboys in the early 90s. Jimmy and my dad are really tight. They're real good friends. Jimmy tells my dad, "Hey, Bob, you know, I know Damon's getting really serious about football. Why don't you bring him up to the games every Sunday, and I'll put him to work on the sideline?" What Jimmy decided my work on the sideline was going to be is I was going to hold Jimmy's headphone cord for him on the sideline, and I did that for 3 seasons, Jack. Talk about front row seat for history, man. These are the teams that dynasty that was being born. Remember that dynasty in the early 90s, Jack? I mean, I was actually in Detroit when Detroit beat the Dallas Cowboys. It was like 1992, I think, or 1991. They actually beat them in the playoffs for the NFC Championship, I believe it was. But, so that's one of the cool things I got to do in childhood, to be around Jimmy Johnson, see his leadership, see what leadership looks like, see what culture looks like on a front row seat of that. And that's what so much of what I talk about when I go to these groups, these teams, these organizations, is I'm talking about culture and changing your culture and having a positive culture. And Jimmy Johnson was one of the great examples to be at a front row seat of student history for.
We're talking to Damon West. He became, as he said, quarterback, Division I, okay, University of North Texas, on the third play against the Aggies, Texas A&M. He got injured. All right, he got his degree, turned to drugs, and he becomes a stockbroker in training for UBS. When we come back, we're going to talk about a day in 2004 that transformed his life and is now transforming the lives of tens of thousands of young people. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Damon West. Today is a world-class inspirational speaker and a quintessential example of, with God, anything is possible. Okay, Damon, you're a stockbroker in training with UBS. And one day in 2004, you meet up with crystal meth. Take it from there.
Yeah, so Jack, this is what I tell people that is part of the story. This is the event that not only touches my life, but it touches the lives of so many other innocent people. It's 2004. I've just returned to Dallas, Texas, and I've been on this journey for the last 4 years. You know, I graduated college from University of North Texas in 1999. As you said, I went and worked in the United States Congress. Then I worked for a guy running for president. I actually worked for a guy named Dick Gephardt. This is 2004. He's a minority leader in the House, Democratic minority leader, and he's running for president. I raised money for Dick all over the country. And when Dick drops out of the race in early 2004, I'm out of a job. And I decide I'm going to take my book of business of all these big donors I've been working with, and I'm going to go in the world of high finance. And I'm being recruited by the world of high finance, by the way, because I mean, what firm doesn't want to hire a guy with that book of business with millionaires and billionaires and that are donors to political parties? So I land on a job at UBS, United Bank of Switzerland, and it's in Dallas, Texas. So this is the job that brings me back into Dallas. You know, I went to college at University of North Texas, which is right there in the DFW Metroplex, and now I'm back in Dallas. Back to a familiar scene, back to some old familiar faces, back to the party scene. And, you know, and I'm into the party scene back then, Jack, and I'm doing some drugs back then because after I got hurt in college football, when my career was over, that's when I really got into drugs. And it was, you know, it was something that was I would say I was functional. I'm using air quotes right now for the audience. I'm a functional addict. Partying a lot, drinking, doing a little cocaine here and there. But one day at work in 2004, this other stockbroker comes up. He sees me sleeping. He wakes me up, and he's visibly shaken, Jack. He's like, hey, listen, man, Damon, you can't sleep on this job. The markets are open. You're messing with people's money. They'll fire you if they catch you sleeping here. He said, come on down the parking garage, Damon. I got something that'll pick you up. So I follow this guy in the parking garage that day. We get into his nice little sports car, and he hands me a glass pipe, Jack. And in this glass pipe are crystal rocks. Now, I've never seen a glass pipe before. This is the first time I've ever seen a glass pipe. The stuff I've been doing, I've been snorting through a straw. And I asked him, I said, man, what is that? He said, Damon, just relax. It's crystal meth. He said, you're going to love this stuff. Jack, truer words had never been spoken. Because I did. I fell in love with crystal meth. Meth is the most evil, most destructive, most addictive drug ever created by man. It's made in the lab. It's made to get you hooked. I smoked it one time, and I was instantly hooked. Just like that. And I couldn't give everything away fast enough for that drug. Because that, Jack, is what addicts do. We give things away. Addicts give up their goals to meet their behaviors. That is the definition of addiction. When you give up goals to meet a behavior, you have addiction issues. And remember, we're not just talking about drugs and alcohol when we talk about addiction. This can be food, money, clothing, shopping, sex, pornography, the internet, social media, whatever it is. I give up my job, my car, my savings account, my family, my tethering to God. In 18 months, I go from working on Wall Street to living on the streets of Dallas. And when I say living on the streets, Jack, I'm homeless. I'm living in dope houses. I'm sleeping in cars. I become a criminal at this point to fund my addiction. And it was petty crimes at first. It was like shoplifting, breaking into cars, breaking into storage units. Then it escalated to the very serious crime of home burglary. Jack, when I broke into people's houses, I didn't just steal property from my victims. I stole something way more valuable from my victims, something that my victims can never replace. That's their sense of security. You know, and I stole it from them, Jack. And it's something I can't give back to them. I can't apologize to them. I can't make apologies in Texas. In Texas, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice told me it's a felony to apologize to the victim of your crimes. They will actually send you back to prison in Texas if you reach out to make apologies. And this rule is there mainly to protect victims of violent crimes from the person that victimized them reaching out back to them. But they just blanketly say, any crime, no apology. So my victims, Jack, have to live with that for the rest of their lives. But after 3 years of committing property crimes against the people of Dallas, Texas, a Dallas SWAT team on July 30th, 2008, put an end to the Uptown burglaries the day that SWAT arrested me. That day, July 30th, 2008, Jack, I knew I was on the run. They had just picked up my partner in crime, a guy named Dustin, 10 days before. They had him in custody. I knew it was a matter of time before they had me in custody, because here's what I learned about crime, Jack. Everybody talks. Everybody talks. People talk of the jailhouse term is called a snitch. But the truth is, everybody snitches on everybody. When prosecutors start throwing out a lot of time to people, no one wants to face the time when they can find the way out. So everybody talks. And on that day, July 30th, 2008, I was sitting in this little rundown apartment I was living in. I was on the couch next to my dope dealer, a guy named Tex. And I was telling Tex, man, the end is near, man. You don't want to be here. The cops are closing in. And just about that time, the window on my right blows out and shatters. And this flashbang grenade is bouncing across the living room floor. It's smoking on one end, Jack. And I see it, man. My eyes get big. I know what's about to go down. And I try to get out of there as fast as I can, but it's too late. Boom. This flashbang grenade blows up in my face, bright white light, loud noise, blows me back on the couch. And when I came to, when I can see and hear again, there was a cop standing over me in full SWAT riot gear. His boot was on my chest, the barrel of an assault rifle digging in my eye socket. And he's screaming, don't move, don't move. And I'm like, man, don't worry, don't worry. So the cops, they flood into my apartment, the Dallas SWAT team, and one of them screams out loud, we got him. We got the Uptown burglar. And they did. They had me, Jack. On July 30th, 2008, the Uptown burglary crime spree came to an end because the Dallas SWAT team arrested me that day. Or as I like to tell people, Jack, I look back at that day, July 30th, 2008. That's not just the day I was arrested. That was the day I was rescued, right? I mean, that's a shift of mindset that you got to have in life where you stop seeing the adversity in front of you and you look for the opportunity in the adversity. I look back at that day as the day that the Dallas SWAT team saved my life. Because they got me out of a situation, Jack, I couldn't get myself out of. I wasn't getting myself out of the Uptown burglaries alive. So the Dallas SWAT team didn't just arrest me that day. They rescued me that day, Jack.
We're talking to Damon West. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the trial. 6 days. Everybody watched it in Dallas. Was the uptown Dallas burglar. And he was convicted of organized crime by a jury in 10 minutes and sentenced to 65 years. When we come back, we're going to ask him when he looked at his mom and dad and got a couple minutes to talk to the mom and dad, what did mom and dad say? And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Damon West, the Dallas Uptown Burglar. Damon, May 18th, 2009, a six-day trial. You're convicted for organized crime by a jury in 10 minutes and sentenced to 65 years. You get a couple of minutes with mom and dad. Tell us about that conversation.
Yeah, so the May 18th, 2009, one of the most pivotal days of my entire life, and so, man, you know, I vividly remember that day. It was the sixth and final day of my trial. And Jack, a six-day trial. You got it. We put everybody into the courtroom that day and let you just see what's going on. This trial goes on for 6 days. And the crimes that I'm standing trial for, this isn't a burglary case anymore, Jack. This is a highest-level case that a prosecutor can bring against you. This is an organized crime case. This is RICO. It says racketeering influence corrupt organization. It's how they took down the mob. And I am the boss of the entire RICO ring. I'm standing trial for all the crimes that everybody committed, including myself, and I'm guilty of everything. They've got me dead to rights. The jury hears from everybody in the crime spree. I mean, we're talking about all the co-defendants, the co-conspirators, the victims of my crimes, everybody, the police. And it is just a bloodbath. They even hear from me, Jack. The biggest witness against me in my case was me. And here's how they heard from me. I didn't take the stand. It was the jailhouse recordings. Criminals are stupid, Jack. I stand on that very firmly. We do stupid things. We say stupid things. And whenever I was in Dallas County Jail, I was scared, and it was a place I'd never been. And I wanted out. Part of the reason I wanted out is I wanted to get high again. I'm an addict, right? I want to get my meth. So I'm on the phones in the jail calling all the people from the dope world. People I've done a lot of crimes with, and I'm telling them, you owe me money from this job we did. Bring that money up here. You owe me now. And here's what the Dallas Police Department's doing. Every call I make, they're going and arresting every one of those people that I brought them the biggest evidence against me. And in trial, they replayed those tapes to the jury. And I'll quote the prosecutor. I sound like, quote unquote, Tony Soprano. I sound like, quote unquote, Al Capone from the jailhouse phones. Nothing could be further from the truth, though, right, Jack? I'm a dope fiend. I'm a dope addict. I'm not really this organized crime boss that hurts people like Al Capone and Tony Soprano, right? I've never physically hurt anybody. I'm a drug addict breaking into people's houses for dope. But those tapes told a whole different story. And on May 18th, 2009, I can feel it coming out of the pores of the jury members. They're looking at me across the courtroom. They can't stand me. And I don't blame them. I mean, in front of them is a guy that had it all. And threw it all away. And he looks like he's a kingpin of an organized crime ring, but he's really just a dope fiend. But that's not coming out because I'm not going to take the stand. There's no way I can take the stand in this trial because more evidence would come up against me. And on May 18, 2009, the sixth and final day of that organized crime trial, the jury gets the case, and they go to deliberate for 10 minutes. 10 minutes! Jack, I don't know how much Law and Order you watch, but if a jury's gone for 10 minutes... Man, it means they smoked you. 6 days of testimony, overwhelming evidence, and they go for 10 minutes. And when they brought me back in the courtroom, I knew it was going to be bad. And the judge read the sentence out loud. He said, Damon Joseph West, you are hereby sentenced to 65 years in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Jack, 65 years in Texas is a life sentence in Texas. The jury gave me life that day. Immediately after the trial was over, the bailiff was on me. The sheriff was on me. I mean, they're getting out of the courtroom as fast, just like you see in the movies. I lock eyes with my mom on the way out of the courtroom. I'm like, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They whisked me out of there. They put me in this little side room. It's got a bulletproof glass. They told me to wait. A few minutes later, my mom and my dad were escorted on the other side of the glass. They're going to give me one last visit before I go to prison. They feel sorry for my parents, Jack, because I just got life. My dad, he can't talk. He is in stunned disbelief that his son, who once had all this promise in life, just received a life sentence in prison. So my mom steps up and does all the talking. And she says, baby, debts in life demand to be paid. And you just got hit with one hell of a bill from the state of Texas. But you did the things they said you did, Damon, so you're going to have to go and pay that debt to society. She said, you owe Texas that debt. But now you owe your father and I debt, too. You see, we gave you all the opportunities, love, and support to be anything you want to be in life. And that's how you just repaid us what we saw in that courtroom. That's not going to work. We raised you in Port Arthur, Texas, Damon. We raised you in a giant melting pot of a city. We gave you a great moral compass, but you chose to not use it. So here's the debt you're going to pay to us. When you go to prison, you will not get in one of these white hate groups, one of these Aryan Brotherhood type of gangs. She said, you were never raised to be a racist. You're not starting that stuff now. She said, you will not get any tattoos while you're inside that prison. And, Jack, I show at this point in the presentation, when I'm speaking to audiences, I show people my arm, my sleeves, as they call them in the tattoo world. I got no ink, man, no tattoos. And these guys in prison want to tattoo every inch of your body in the joint. I tell people all the time, man, these guys hit me up relentlessly. Wes, let me put a tattoo on you, man. I tell them the same thing every time, man. I can't do it, man. My mom said no, because that's the best I had, Jackie. That was the truth. But my mom told me that day on May 18, 2009, she said, Damon, no gangs, no tattoos. You come back as the man that we raised, or don't come back to us at all. And I was floored. I was stunned, Jack. She said, do you understand the debt you're going to pay to us, your mom and your dad? I was like, yeah, Mom, I got it. But what do I know, Jack? You know, I've never been to prison. I don't know about you've been to prison before. And that day, after about a five-minute conversation on the side of the courtroom, my parents left on the other side of the glass, and then they took me back to my pod in Dallas County Jail, where I would sit for the next 2 months waiting for the prison transport bus to pick me up, and I would run around Dallas County Jail asking every guy in jail, how am I going to survive? What am I going to do? And every guy in there is telling me the same thing. You have to get into a gang. You can't survive without a gang. Every guy, but one guy, Jack.
If you want to learn more, www.damonwest.org, damonwest.org. All right, you become inmate number 158-5689. You're assigned to one of the toughest prison assignments in Texas, the Mark W. Stiles Unit, a supermax prison in Beaumont, Texas. And God sends you a Muslim angel named Muhammad. Please.
Yeah, this is one of those wild parts of the story. And let me preface this part of the story by saying that what I have found in life, Jack, is that God can use any messenger to get through to you. And sometimes the messengers that he sends to you, they won't look like you. They won't come from the same background as you. They won't have the same experience as you. They may not even believe in the same thing that you believe, right? Mine comes in the form of an old black Muslim guy in Dallas County Jail named Muhammad. Now, Muhammad is what you call a career criminal, Jack. He's been in and out of prison his entire life. Couldn't be more different, right? He's a black man. I'm a white man. He's older. I'm younger. He's Muslim. I'm Catholic. But he approaches me in Dallas County Jail. He sees the guy that's struggling. He sees the guy that needs help. And he reaches out to me, reaches a hand out to me, and he tells me, hey, listen, man, I've been watching how you're dealing with these knuckleheads and these dummies talking about you got to get into a gang when you get to prison. He said, do not listen to these fools. He said, you want to keep the promise you made to your mom and your dad? Then let me tell you what prison's really going to be like. And that's when he goes and he tells me, he says, you know, the first thing you need to understand about prison is all about race. Race runs the whole institution inside of a prison. He said, that's the way the inmates want it, too. He says, so when you walk in the door, the white gangs get the first dibs on you because you're white. And he's telling me, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Aryan Circle, the White Knights, the Woods, you fight all the white gangs first. If you survive the white gangs, now you fight the black gangs. And the white gangs will send the black gangs after you. And he's telling me, man, the Crips, the Bloods, the Gangster Disciples, they're going to be happy to tee off on this independent white guy who won't get with his own race and his own kind where he belongs. And he said, but Wes, if you survive all that, and you can survive all that, you'll earn the right to walk alone. He said, the strongest man in prison always walks alone. You know who he sounded like? He sounded like my dad. Remember my dad 25 years earlier working on the Young Damon West with the hate mail he was reading, telling me it was okay to stand alone, it was okay to take a tough stance? He told me the truth about fighting. He said, Wes, just remember this when you get to prison. You don't have to win all your fights, but you do have to fight all your fights. He said, some days you're going to win, man. Some days you're going to lose. He said, it's okay if you lose. You just get up and you keep fighting.
We're talking to Damon West. When we come back, we'll ask him about a pot of boiling water. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember...
anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Damon West. God sends him a Muslim angel named Muhammad. Damon, continue the story, please.
So Muhammad, he sees that I'm struggling with everything he's telling me. The fear, he can see it in my eyes. And that's when he said, West, I want you to imagine prison as a pot of boiling water. He said, anything we put into this pot of boiling water will be changed by the heat and the pressure inside that pot. He said, I'm putting three things in this pot of boiling water and watch how they change. A carrot, an egg, and a coffee bean. Jack, here's where I first heard the story of the coffee bean. It's the summer of 2009 in a jail cell in Dallas County Jail, exactly 10 years before John Gordon and I write that best-selling book in 2019 called The Coffee Bean. So he walks me through it. A carrot in a pot of boiling water goes in hard but becomes softened by the water. An egg in the same pot of boiling water goes in with a soft liquid inside, but the water changes that egg on the inside. It makes it hard. Your heart becomes hardened. He said, you don't want to be the carrot. You don't want to be the egg. But he said a coffee bean was entirely different because a coffee bean goes in the pot of boiling water and changes the pot of boiling water into a pot of coffee. He said the coffee bean changed the water around it with the power inside of it. He said, you have the power inside you to change the water around you. But if you want to come back as someone your parents recognize, you've got to buy into this thing. You've got to become that coffee bean. The coffee bean's the only thing that changes the water. It's the change agent. And in fact, the last words he ever says to me, Jack, before the prison bus comes to pick me up, he says, hey, West, be a coffee bean. Be a coffee bean. The four words that changed my life, Jack. And they couldn't come at a better time. Because when I got to prison, prison was a baptism by fire, Jack. And it was just like he said it would be. It was fighting constantly. The first 2 months of prison, I get in three dozen fights. It's a bloodbath, right? And I lose 75% of those fights. But I win all the fights, Jack, because I show up to the fights, you know, because he told me, you don't have to win those fights. You got to fight those fights. And that's all anybody cared about in prison. They just want to see if you're going to defend yourself. So 2 months of constant fighting. The violence is finally over. The threat to my physical safety is gone. And that's when I start working on myself, Jack, inside that prison. That's when I start becoming a coffee bean. And it was a slow go at first, right? This is a prison. It's a dungeon I'm waking up in every day. But I got up with a different mindset. That's what we first have to do. You got to change the way you see the world around you, right? You got to wake up in a positive mindset. I had to stop looking at prison as a punishment and start looking at prison as an opportunity.
What a big shift in mindset, right? You're waking up in a dungeon every day. But I did it, Jack, because your mind's a powerful thing. I started developing my rules of being a coffee bean, you know. Have positive body language everywhere you go. Smile, you know. Work out on yourself every day, spiritually, mentally, physically. Practice servant leadership in all your endeavors. Try to control the controllables. The controllables are this. You can control what you think, what you say, what you feel, and what you do. And if you focus on those things, you invest your time in an area where you can actually impact your life. And the last rule really about being a coffee bean is that your past does not define you. And that was my mindset. My past doesn't define me. I'm going to create a better story, better version of Damon West inside this prison. And I did. The parole board comes to see me in 2015, 7 years, 3 months, 18 days after I started this journey with the SWAT team, where they saved my life on July 30th, 2008. On November 16th, 2015, I make my first parole, and I walk out of a Texas prison. But I'm not a free man. You know, there's some strings attached to this. I'm on parole until the year 2073, Jack. So I got a little time left on parole, about 49 years from when we're having this recording right now. But I'm not worried about being on parole because I'm a coffee bean. You know, Jack, whenever I got out of prison, I knew I was telling this incredible story, this great message, the coffee bean. But I didn't have a lot of place to share the story. And I found out really quickly, you can't go knock on the door of a high school and say, I just got out of prison, want to talk to your kids. They'll chase you down the street, man. They chased me one time. I had to find people that would believe in me, and that belief I've believed. I really believe, Jack, and this is the thing about belief. Growth follows belief. You have to believe in yourself before anybody else will believe in you. I really believed, as crazy as it sounds, that my story was going to take off in the world of college football because that's where my fork in the road happened, and that's where I figured I could have the most impact in people's lives was college football players. But the problem was, Jack, it's been 20 years since I took a snap. Coaches don't know me, and I don't know them, but all that would change.
You go to a college football coaches conference in Houston, and you start reaching out to Nick Saban, Mark D'Antonio, and others saying, let me talk to your kids. You get dejected over and over and over, and then God sends you another angel. Please.
There were eight coaches at the award show that night. It was January 11th, 2017. I've been out of prison 14 months. It's the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award in Houston, Texas. Eight best coaches in America. I run around that room that night, Jack, and I'm shaking every coach. A buddy of mine sneaks me in the back door, first of all. That's how I got in. I run around shaking every coach's hand, give them my pitch of why they should bring me to talk to their team, and every coach shoots me down. In 1 hour, I get seven no's from the eight coaches there. That's a no every 8 minutes. I'm in the corner of Toyota Center looking at my wounds, feeling sorry for myself, about to walk out the door, but I have one coach left to talk to, and I'm not leaving until the last coach tells me no. But the last coach had just beat Alabama two nights before for the national championship. Everybody wants his time. So I stalk Dabo Swinney around that room, the head coach at Clemson. I look like a crazy person, Jack. I'm stalking this guy. I finally get in front of him. I give him a pitch. And, man, all he can say is, you got a card on you? I heard that before that night. Some of those coaches said the same thing. I gave him a card. He took it from me. He said, I'll check you out. He was gone. Well, that was a no. It looked like a no, felt like a no, but I tell you what, Jack, I felt good about that no. That no meant that I left it all on the field. That was one of the lessons I learned from playing sports. All right, Muhammad said, you don't have to win those fights. You got to fight those fights. 4 months later, I get an email out of the blue. It's the director of football operations at Clemson. He says, hey, Coach Sweeney met you at a board show in Houston. I'd love to have you come talk to the team. Do you have August 1st open? One yes in a room full of no's, and it's the national championship coach, Dabo Swinney. I talked to his team in August 1st of 2017. After that, Dabo plugged me into the whole coaching world. Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin, Chip Kelly, Ryan Day, Mark D'Antonio. Every coach in America starts calling my phone, when are you going to talk to my team? The dream is real. It's happening. Then Dabo introduced me to another servant leader, a guy named John Gordon. John Gordon is one of the biggest motivational speakers and authors on the planet, Jack. This is the energy bus guy. I follow John on social media for my inspiration. When John calls me that first time in 2018, I'm like, John, how do you know who I am? How'd you get my number? And he told me about Dabo. He said, Dabo, I just spoke to his team. He brought me in the office to tell me your whole life story. And John said this in 2018, before the pandemic, Jack. He said, Damon, the world needs a coffee bean message. Let's deliver this message to the world. He said, write a book with me. We'll call it The Coffee Bean. Jack, in the summer of 2019, the book The Coffee Bean comes out, takes the world by storm. Top of every bestseller list, gets a global publishing deal attached to it. Global publishing deals are rare, Jack. That's when they reprint your book in every language in the world. It starts popping up in Chinese and Spanish and Arabic, French, Italian, German. And then the year 2020 comes. Remember 2020, Jack? The global pandemic. The entire world becomes a pot of boiling water, and the entire world is searching for the right message to get them through. And so many people landed on the coffee bean guy, Damon West. And my life took off like a rocket ship, and it hasn't stopped yet. But I tell people this all the time. I come back to this story. It all goes back to that one night in Houston, Texas, January 11th, 2017. That night that I had those seven no's, and I almost walked out the door before the last coach could tell me. And if I walk out that door that night, we're not having this conversation today, Jack. And the world doesn't have the coffee message. So what I tell everybody is this. You cannot give up on your hopes and goals and dreams. You can't give up before you give it all your effort. You don't not ask your question. The only question you know the answer to is the one you do not ask. That's a no every time, right? I think Wayne Gretzky said it best, Jack. And you're from a hockey part of the country. Wayne Gretzky said you miss 100% of the shots that you do not take. You got to take your shots in this life, Jack.
We're talking to Damon West, www.damonwest.org. The greatest speaker I ever met, friends, in my life was Zig Ziglar. When I met Damon West, Pam and I, a month or so ago, I think he's the second best speaker I've ever heard in my life. Damon, you're a druggie, a burglar, a thief, and God decides to have you become this unbelievable speaker in spite of yourself. In 30 seconds, why?
That's how God shows he's real, Jack. When I walked out of prison, God told me, you're going to work for me now, Damon. I put you through all this for a reason. You know, this is how I show that I'm real. He said, here's the deal. You're going to have this incredible life because you're going to inspire people. You're going to inspire people to show them what they're capable of. You're going to show them the power of Christ inside them. But here's the catch, Damon. This is about me. It's not about you. The minute it becomes the Damon show and not God's show, you're coming back to prison. You are a vessel, and I can find another vessel. Let's get to work. That's the last thing Christ told me when I walked out of prison that day.
Well, Damon, you may be a vessel, but you're a golden, fabulous vessel. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for the time today, too, to talk to your audience. I've been looking forward to this for months, man. Thank you for the opportunity today, Jack.
Thank you. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week and a great new year, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.